Good to see you this morning. If you'll take God's Word and turn to John 16, John chapter 16. Now, I knew that Butch was a great bowler, but I didn't know he could play the piano. Great job, Butch. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. This morning, we're going to go continuing in our study about the Holy Spirit and how important He is. One verse that really, I think, captures everything that Jesus is trying to teach us about the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in John 16, verse 7, He said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come for you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you." Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much. Lord, You have helped us all our lives. Father, You have been a great advantage. You have been our source. You are our everything. And we are so thankful, Father, that You have provided for us. Father, You've protected us. You've loved us. You've graced us. We could go down the line of how many things that You've done for us and are doing for us, and we're grateful for that. Lord, help us not to take You for granted, Lord, but to live lives of purity, lives of holiness. Lord, help us as we study the Word that You'll teach us. You promised that You would do that. Lord, continue to bring to our remembrance who we are. We are in Christ, as we were studying Wednesday night, Lord. We are in You, and You have given us everything that we need that pertains unto life and godliness. You've given us everything that we need, Father, to live in such a way that honors and glorifies the name of Jesus. And that, Lord, that's what we desire. That's what we want to do continually. So, Lord, be with us today as we open up Your Word, and help us that we might learn some things that would change our habits, our behavior, our lifestyle, the way we think, how we talk, how we live, that we might honor You and glorify You in everything. In Jesus' name, amen. You know the story. It's a great story. Jesus is going to the cross. And so chapter 13, he spends time really with a lot of negative things. He talks about the deceiver that would be one among the disciples that would betray Him. He also brings forth that there would be one that would deny Him three times. And He also brought, I think the kicker was when He said that He was about to depart and not to leave them as orphans, but He was going to leave and go to a place that He was preparing for them, that later on they might accompany Him there. In verse 7, out of all these things, you know good and well that they were depressed, they were down, they couldn't understand it. A traitor among us, that just didn't really fit. And someone would actually deny You before men, we can't understand that. And then You're going to leave us. We've been with You for 3+ years, and now You're going to leave us for a while. But yet, chapter 14, 15, and 16, the Holy Spirit, when He speaks about the Holy Spirit, it's to comfort them, to give them strength, to encourage them, because He knew that He would not leave them by themselves. He would not leave them alone. And so He comes to this 16th chapter, and I can understand exactly what He's telling us. He said, "Nevertheless, everything that's going on, I'm telling you the truth. These are facts, these are truths." And He says in the verse, "It is to your advantage that I go away." And you know, that's a great statement. Because if Jesus had not done what He said He was going to do, had He not fulfilled the purpose and plan of God, had He not gone to the cross, what kind of folks would we be? There would be no hope. Hell would be a reality. But He said, "It's to your advantage that I go away, that I fulfill the plan of God, that I fulfill the will of God, that you might come to know salvation, you might understand who You are, that you might realize that you are a sinner, that you might receive Me as Savior and Lord. But not only that, I've got to go away, and yet I'm going to send another comforter, another helper, someone that will be not only with you, but be inside of you." I like the word helper. I don't know about you, but in everything that we do, we need help. I don't know about you. Let's just face up. To be able to live a life that Christ describes in the Word of God is impossible. We can't do that on our own. And how important and how valuable the Holy Spirit of God is. Now, when I thought about that advantage that we have, and there are many advantages that we have as Christians, having the Spirit of God in us, you know, I go back to the past and look that the Spirit of God was around when the world was created. Did you know in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit was around? He had a part in creation. We know God the Father was there in creation. The Bible says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. But we also know in John chapter 1, verses 1 to 3, that Jesus was all there. And that's sort of a wild thing to think about, that the Son of God, the Father of God, God Father, and also the Spirit of God, the Trinity was around even before there was nothing. That's a pretty heavy thought. Before there was anything that ever had been created, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit was around. Then I thought about what He said in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. He said, "Let us make man in our image." So the Holy Spirit was not only involved in the creation of the universe, but He was also involved in the creation of us. He created man in His own likeness and in His own image. And so the Holy Spirit's been around from the very beginning of beginnings, when there was nothing. And the Bible says that God created the heavens and the earth. The word create is the word bara in the Hebrew, which means He did not have any pre-existing material. He spoke it and it came to pass. And so the Holy Spirit was around even in the past, and He's around now in the present, and He will be around in the future. So why is He so important? What are some of the characteristics that we can find in the Word of God that teach us about the importance of the Holy Spirit? Did you know, first of all, that you can't be saved without the Holy Spirit? You can't come to know Christ as Savior and Lord unless the Word of God and the Spirit of God work together. We're in John. If you would, go to John chapter 3. You guys know about Nicodemus. So Nick came to Jesus at night when no one was around. And he got into a great conversation with Jesus. And Jesus told him several times, if you look in John 3:3, we know that he's a rabbi. We know he's a rich man. We know that he's part of the Supreme Court of that day, the Sanhedrin. A very well-known man. In fact, Jesus makes the statement a little later in John 3, that you are the teacher in Israel. So he was very prominent, very, very rich, very well-known man. But yet he didn't know spiritual things because he had never been saved, never been born again. Jesus said in John 3:3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly," that's the word amen, amen, truly, truly. "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, if you're saved, you've got two birthdays. Of course, you hopefully know your first birthday, and hopefully, possibly, you might know that spiritual birthday, that day that you came to know Christ as Savior and Lord. And Jesus spoke mostly in parables and sometimes face-to-face in giving truth, spiritual truth that some folks who were lost could not understand. And so he's confused about this. And then if you'll notice in verse 5, Jesus answered, "Most assuredly," there that word is again, "I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." And so the born of water does not, he's not talking about water baptism. He's talking about a spiritual cleansing because mankind is sinful. Mankind needs a Savior. There was only one that went to the cross that could satisfy the wrath of God, and that was Jesus Christ, His Son. And He was willing to give His life for us. And He said, "You must be born of water and of the Spirit." Then He said in verse 6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." You must be born again. So if we don't have the Holy Spirit, we can't be saved. So that's a pivotal point in our lives to know that without Him, without the Word of God, without the Spirit of God, we can't be saved. And then, second of all, notice that we can't communicate the gospel without the Holy Spirit. You remember what Jesus told His disciples before He ascended into heaven? He made the statement, "Don't go out right now. Don't go out, but wait for the promise of the Father." What was the promise? The promise of the Holy Spirit. Because He knew if they went out to share, it would just be of the flesh. But if they waited for the Holy Spirit, and they did, they gathered together, about 120, and the Spirit of God fell on all of them, and they spoke the Word of God with boldness. That's why there were 3,000 souls that were saved, because of the power of the Holy Spirit that resided now in them. Not only around them, but now He's in them. So, you know, when we witness, when God calls us to witness, and by the way, He has called us to witness, amen? He's called us to share the greatest news that this world needs to hear, that Jesus is still saving lost people today. He's saving those who've been deceived. He's saving those who have no clue. He's saving those that are ignorant. He's come to seek and to save that which was lost. And the need for us to go out, we can go out in the flesh, but we won't be effective. That's why he said, listen, wait for the promise, wait for the power. Acts 1:8, and you shall receive power after that. The Holy Spirit of God shall come upon you, and then you will be witnesses there at home and in the regions beyond and in the world today. So make sure that you're saved and you're filled with the Spirit of God when you go out and share your faith. You won't be effective. So to be able to communicate and to share the gospel message of Jesus Christ, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. So we can't be saved without the Spirit. We can't witness without the Spirit. You can't have security without the Spirit. There are a lot of folks that battle with, well, I think I'm saved. I hope I'm saved. But the Bible teaches that you can know that you're saved. 1 John 5:13, those that believe on me, know without a shadow of a doubt that they have been saved and been born again. Because it's the Spirit of God that bears witness with our spirit that we are sons or daughters of God. In fact, if you'll notice in Romans, go to Romans chapter 8. This is a great chapter on security. Romans 8 is a super powerful passage on our security in Christ, that we can know that we know that we know. Listen to what Paul was saying. Chapter 8, verse 14. He says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father, or Daddy. The Spirit, here it is, the Spirit Himself. You know, I like that. It didn't say the Spirit itself, because we learned last week that He is an existing person. He is a person. He is a real person. But he says the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, we may also be glorified together. So the Holy Spirit is so important in our lives to be able to live in such a way. So having the Holy Spirit in our lives, what does He desire for us to do? First of all, I think He desires for us to live holy. And my question is, what kind of life did you live? I'm not going to say last month, but what kind of life did you live yesterday? What kind of life did the Spirit of God lead you to live this past week? What were some of the things that you thought? What were some of the things that you said with your mouth? What were some of the places that you went? You know, would they glorify God? Would they honor God? That's the key. He wants us to live pure. He wants us to live holy. You know what? I can't do that on myself. I can't do that by myself. I can't get up this morning and say, well, I'm going to live holy today. But by the grace of God and by the Holy Spirit that lives in me as a saved, born-again Christian, He's going to help me to live the kind of life that I need to live. We mentioned a while ago in 2 Peter 1:3, for God has given us everything we need. Did you realize that today? Anything and everything you need to live in this disgusting, unbelievable, sinful, perverted world, God has given you through the Word of God. You got to go to it and find it. He's given you everything you need to live the kind of life that He desires for you to live. If you want to live holy like He says, then you can by His grace and by His power. And so it's important. You know, what kind of life are you living? It's always good to look at ourselves in the mirror. We can see the reflection. What about the spiritual mirror? When you look at the spiritual mirror, if you were standing before God Almighty, if you were standing before Jesus Christ, what kind of life would you be living? By the grace of God, by the Holy Spirit of God, we can live a holy life. Number two, not only does He want us to live holy, but second of all, He wants us to give biblically. I've heard people, oh, Lord, there goes the preacher now. He wants to talk about money again. Well, Lord, the Word of God, Jesus talked a lot about money. And money is important. We work for money. We spend money. We save money if we can. And money is important. But, you know, there's a biblical way. It's a biblical way of giving. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, he talks about giving cheerfully. In fact, the Greek word means hilariously. Give hilariously. And I've heard folks, well, you know, I tip God. Well, you know, don't tip God, give God. Give to God because you can't outgive Him. I don't know about you, but I've tried. But biblically, there are scriptures and places in the Word of God that teach us the importance of giving. We're to give from the gross. We're to give at least 10% from the gross. In fact, if you get into the New Testament, he talks about grace giving. Now think about that. How much has God graced you and you're to give by grace? You know, it may be 10, maybe 15, maybe 20%. I don't know what God's going to allow you to give. I can remember we had one of our deacons one time. He came to me and says, we tried to tithe, but, we just don't have any money left over. And I said, okay, let me give you a good opportunity. I said, what you need to do is when you get paid, take 10% off the gross, give it to the Lord, and then pay your bills. And then if you have any need of groceries, let me know and I'll buy them. I can't believe I said that because we were eating deer meat at the time making it. So, some folks say you're crazy. Well, I probably was. But I just believe God. I've seen God in the last 40 years. I've seen God work in unbelievable ways. I don't know why people have such trouble with money. Because I believe if you're doing what you ought to be doing and giving like you ought to be giving, God's going to do what He needs to do in your life. He's going to provide for you. His name and reputation is on the line. And we're to give like He's called us to give. And what happened is the deacon started doing that, and lo and behold, they had more money than they ever had before. Why? Because they did it biblically. They gave biblically. And so the scriptures are full of scriptures about, how to give. And so it's very important to do that. Well, what's something else that the Holy Spirit wants us to do? He wants us to pray for our leaders. To pray for our leaders. In Proverbs chapter 21, listen to verse number 1. Proverbs 21:1. It says, The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Like the rivers of water, He turns it wherever He wishes. Now, when I talk about leaders, I'm talking about national leaders. And man, our country is in a mess. Hello? Our country is in a mess. Our country needs revival. Our country is under attack. It's under spiritual attack. And it's time for the church to rise up. It's a time for the church to pray like we've never prayed before. We need to pray for our president. We need to pray for our vice president. All the way down. You need to pray for your pastor. If I were to ask you this week, how much have you prayed for me? Thank you, John. John raised his hand. I got a couple. I pray for you guys. We need each other. We need to pray for one another. Issues come up. Problems exist. Obstacles, storms. All different kinds of things. We need to pray for one another. And we need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for leaders in the country. And we need to pray for staff. And pray for laity. We need to pray for one another. And to effectively pray. Now, I'm not talking about just, Lord, lay me down to sleep kind of praying. I'm talking about effective praying. James 5 and verse 16 says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Now, the key to that is, I don't know about you, but I want my prayer life to avail much. To take place, I've got, according to that verse, I need to be a righteous in right standing with God. I need to be living according to Scripture that I might be able to pray in such a way that God would answer our prayers. And God answers prayers. Amen? Boy, that's mighty weak. Does He answer prayer? Man, I've seen it answer. He answers prayer. Sometimes it's no, we don't like that. Oh, God, you're holding Him back. No, He's trying to bless you. He wants the best for you. Sometimes it's slow. It's coming, but you need to grow a little bit. You need to get a little bit stronger in your faith, and then I'm going to work in your life. And then we like the yes part, unless when we answer, God answers prayer, we think, oh, Lord, I didn't need that. Have you ever prayed for something, and He gave it to you, and you wish you'd not prayed for it? I've been there. We don't like that kind of praying. I mean, we want to pray according to His will. And James says, the effectual, fervent prayer is those prayers that are going to bust the ceilings of churches and bust the ceilings of your household and get into the throne room of glory. To get in the throne room of God is to pray, being righteous, fervently, that it might avail much. And how can we do that? I can't do that on my own. It's the Spirit of God that lives within me. In fact, in Romans 8, it says sometimes we don't even know what to pray for. Have you ever got up, whether it be in the morning or throughout the day, and you're trying to pray about something, and you just don't know how to pray? Maybe I'm the only one, but there's times where, Lord, I don't know what to pray for. I don't know what. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit kicks in and prays the prayer of heaven. I don't have all the answers. You don't have all the answers. That's why the Spirit of God helps us to pray, because God's got all the answers. And so we can go to Him humbly, hopefully righteously, and pray and seek His face. So we need the Holy Spirit to pray. We need the Holy Spirit for revival. We need the Holy Spirit for revival. In the book of Habakkuk, when's the last time you... I heard somebody the other day, he did a survey on the book of Habakkuk. And he said, have you ever read Habakkuk? Read it, I thought it was a vacuum cleaner. Our world don't know the books of the Bible. I hope our church does, but Habakkuk is in the Bible. Chapter 3, verse 2. O Lord, I've heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. Ladies and gentlemen, I can't bring it. You can't bring it. No one can bring it other than God. That's why we begin right now praying for revival. I don't know about you. I personally need it. Do you need revival? Our church needs revival. Our church needs a reviving. Even Timothy, a young preacher of the gospel, you know, Paul got him and said, I don't know what's going on in your life. I know you're having a battle here at Ephesus. I know they're giving you a hard time. Some of them think you're too young. Some of them think you can't preach. Some think this, da, 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 da. He said, but stir up the gift that is within you. He's saying, Holy Spirit, get real in his life. Stir up that gift. You know what? We need to be stirred. We need to be stirred by the Spirit of God to pray for revival. And we need to begin now. Only God can bring revival. You know, you can't share the gospel without the Holy Spirit. Remember what Jesus said? He said, follow me and what? I will make you to become fishers of men. The Spirit of God brings back the Word of God. In fact, I think in John chapter 14 and 15 and 16, he said, one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is to bring to your remembrance the things that I have taught you, the things that you've been reading about, the things you've memorized, a thing that you've placed in your heart and your mind. He will bring those verses up, those things up in time of need. And so we need to get that for power. We need the Holy Spirit of God to walk in forgiveness. Let me just ask you today, is there somebody that don't like you? Preachers don't have any friends. I just want you to know that. And you probably got somebody that don't like you. That's okay. That's all right. They'll get over it. But you know what? If there's someone that there's a blockage between someone, you know what? You need to take care of that. I need to take care of that. How can I do that? I can't do it on my own. Holy Spirit, you got to give me the courage. You got to give me the strength. You got to give me the words to be able to go, because he talks about reconciliation in the Bible, doesn't he? And reconciliation means that there's been something that has happened that's brought division, and to reconcile that means to bring it back to where it was. And so people need to be reconciled. There needs to be forgiveness. You know what? The verse that Paul mentioned, I think, in Ephesians 4 and verse 32 will tell the story. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. And I want you to listen to the wording of this verse. And be kind one to another, okay? Tenderhearted, okay? Here it is. Forgiving one another, here's the kicker, even as God in Christ forgave you. You know what? We can't come up with anything that's as difficult as what we see right here. Because I know what kind of person I was before I met Christ. And He forgave me for everything. And so there's nothing that someone can say and do to me in my life. Now, I might get ticked off a little bit. straightened out, I can forgive by God's grace and by God's power that's in me. But forgiveness is so, so important. It divides churches. It divides families. It divided the Corinthians. Remember, I'm following Paul. I'm following Peter. I'm following Apollos. I'm following Christ. No wonder this was a problematic church. They didn't know who to follow. They should have been following Jesus. But things hopefully worked out because you're reading the second letter. Things were a little bit better. But forgiveness is important. These are just a few things that the Spirit of God, why we need Him so much to be filled with Him that He could lead us in the way that we need to be led. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You, Lord, for the time that You've given us. Thank You, Lord, for the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul tells us in Romans the same power that God Almighty resurrected His Son Jesus from the dead is the same power that lives within us. So the question always comes to me, where is the power? Where is the power in individual lives? Where is the power in the church? Lord, help us to be honest, to seek. Lord, what are the difficulties? What are the problems? What are the sins that we need to deal with to put us into a position that we can live in the way where the Spirit of God is total control, controlling our lives? Lord, we don't want to be self-motivated. We want to be Spirit-motivated. Lord, we don't want to be selfish. We want to feel Spirit-led, Spirit-speaking, Spirit-living, Spirit-walking. We need the Holy Spirit of God who lives inside of us to live in such a way to honor You. Lord, I pray if there are those here today who've never trusted Christ as Savior, wow, He can forgive. He can forgive any sin. He can forgive your sin, cleanse you, make you whole, change you into a new person, transform you by the power of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Father, I pray for Christians today. Lord, may this be the beginning of a time where we honestly seek revival from You, O Lord, realizing we can't bring it, we can't do it. It's got to be God. It's got to be the Spirit of God working through the Word of God, bringing revival to individual people and then to the church that we might make an impact and an influence in this world. Thank You, Lord, for what You're going to do. Continue to speak. Continue to help us to be open and receptive to what You've called us to do. In Jesus' name.